is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Well, I want to turn today to the book of James. Turn to the book of James, chapter 4, if you would. And as you're turning there, I want to tell you about Helen Keller. I've quoted her before. She was a remarkable young lady. And Helen Keller was blind. Helen Keller was deaf. Helen Keller also was an author, a lecturer, a political activist. She was the first deaf and blind woman to get her Bachelor of Arts degree. But most of all, she was an overcomer. And I want to read this this quote from her. She knew how to overcome her circumstances and situations in life and learned early on, although it was a struggle in the beginning, she learned how to overcome those. And Helen Keller said, although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming it. And I love that quote. Let me read it one more time. Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming it. She did not dismiss or ignore the fact that there is suffering out there. She acknowledged it, just like God's Word says, there will be suffering. You will encounter this. But she said, in spite of it, we can overcome it. And today, the message is simply, draw near. Last week, I talked about how to live in times of want. And I asked, how are you living? And what are you doing? And I asked both of those questions in reference to your life and lifestyle that has eternal value. How are you living and what are you doing that has eternal value? So as we look at drawing near today, in the midst of everything that's going on, you know, as Eric and I talk, we're just like, when will we meet together again? It doesn't look like we'll meet together for Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday. Even if we did meet for Easter Sunday, we would not have our regular fellowship meal. So these times are uncertain. And in the midst of everything that is or is not happening right now, I thought how interesting today's scripture is. And over the next couple weeks when we meet together, whether we meet or don't meet, as we talk about Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, I'll be discussing where. So join us next week and the week after that, if just by Facebook Live or just through our recording, come and listen and find out what we're talking about when we look at where in the Bible. James chapter 4, verse 6 through 12. And it says this, and it's talking about submission to God. And it says, but He gives us more grace. That's why the Scripture said, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. And it says in verse 7, it says, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. In the midst of your humility, He will lift you up. And it goes on in verse 11. It says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but you're sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But listen to this, the final words say, but you, who are you to judge your neighbors? So in the midst of this scripture, God is calling us to draw near to Him. And He says, be a part of me, abide in me, and I, in return, will abide in you. These aren't times for people to be proud right now. It never is. But in times that the nation and the world is going through things like this, there's no room for people to be prideful. Take pride in what you do, but do not be prideful. These are times for us to return. times for us to return to Him. I said last week that He is calling us to come back to Him. And I look back at my message at the beginning of the year, and it said 2020, a year of focus. I should say so. With everything that's happening, you don't think we need a sharpened and renewed focus on God? I think He absolutely is calling us to draw near to Him. It's time for us to return to charity, to return to fellowship and humility, to return to family. I heard someone say the other day, you know, the one thing this has caused our family to do, this person said, it's caused our family to come together and eat together and have a meal together. I was pleased and encouraged that another person that heard that said, well, we do that in our family anyway. But He's calling us to return to family, to focus on the family, to return to dedication and submission and commitment, to return to God's Word, but most importantly, to return to God Himself. Draw near to Me, and I will draw near to you, He says. Wash your hands, you sinners. We've never had a point in time where we focus more on washing hands than we are right now. How profound is that? Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I mentioned last week also that right now there's a lot of people who have a lot of free time, and a lot of people are watching things on YouTube or Facebook and getting information. And I said there's a lot of people out there that with some free time in their hands have become critics and become very judgmental of others. Now's not the time for that, church. Now is the time for us to have greater opportunity to exercise what? Grace and mercy and empathy and forgiveness for others. Why do we need to critique, as I mentioned last week, the person that left the water running in the background? Well, it's not good for the world out there to be wasting water. Yeah, I get that. But you think that was the purpose of his video? The purpose was for him to say it's important to wash your hands. So we have to be very careful that we don't sit with all this free time and become experts in everything and judgmental of others, whether it be a person or a business or whatever. That comes very easily with our time because we think we have the right to do it. Verse 12. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? We're nobody. So let's not judge our neighbor. Let's not do that. So I want to talk about the benefits of drawing near to God. And right here in James chapter 4, verse 8, the first benefit is when we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. That's the best benefit of all. If we draw near to Him, He promises us He will draw near to us. Now be careful, those that are looking for a quick and easy answer. Well, if He draws near to us, doesn't that mean He'll answer my prayers? He'll answer your prayers anyway. No, I mean, won't He give me the answer I want? That's not what it's saying. It just says, draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. Now, if you would turn back just a few pages to Hebrews. Just go towards the front of your Bible a few pages to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, says this. It says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. The first thing we have to do, church, is believe that He exists. But I always think in the back of my mind, one of my favorite scriptures is where the young man says, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. So it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. And it says, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So the second benefit, the first one is, when we draw near to Him, the first benefit is He will draw near to us. The second benefit is He rewards those who draw near to Him. Now, in this scripture, it says he rewards those who diligently seek him. Now, what does the word diligent mean? It means constant effort. It means to persist. Diligently seeking him is not showing up once a week, saying, God, I'm here in your service. I am diligently seeking you today at this moment. This talks about a consistent effort that goes on and on and on. Drawing near to God is a lifestyle. Let me repeat that. Drawing near to God and seeking him diligently is a lifestyle. It is not an occasion. It is not a happening or an event. It is a lifestyle. Skipping church and Bible study while we're not meeting face to face, that's laziness. That is not diligent pursuit of God. That's why I say, man, church family, get up together as a family unit and say, guys, it's time for church. Let's gather around and let's do this as a discipline to set that up. Seeking him is more than praying and just reading his word. It's seeking his presence. If we are pursuing him and diligently seeking him, we are not only looking to be in his word and pray to him, we are looking to be in his presence. And I pulled out the song that we sing, Holy Spirit. And it says, there's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. And it says, I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Where? In your presence, Lord. So seeking him diligently is being and looking for his presence. Being in his presence and seeking his presence. Again, a lifestyle, not an event, not an occasion, not something to put on the calendar once a week, but continually throughout the day and every day throughout the week to be in his presence. So the second thing when we draw near to him is he will reward us. He will reward us for those that seek diligently. And again, that's from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it just says, he exists that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So our second benefit is God rewards us. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a benefit and there's not a blessing that comes when we are in together for fellowship, when we're studying his word, when we're praying. I'm just saying for those that seek him diligently, that is another level. Remember last week and a couple weeks before that, I said those of us that say we are Christians, we have to earn that. Okay, we earn that when we accepted Jesus Christ. Great. When we call ourselves a Christ follower, we have to earn that. We have to earn that by our actions, by our lifestyle, by our character. So it's the same thing here. Those rewards, benefits can come without that earnestly seeking. But the reward is greater for those that earnestly seek him. The third benefit, when you draw near to him, he will show you things to come. The third benefit, when you draw near to him, he will show you things to come. And that comes from John chapter 16. Turn back in your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 16. And in the midst of that, I realized I didn't mark my final scripture that I was looking at. And in John chapter 16, just verse 12 and 13. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, I have much more to say to you. More than you can now bear. And can you imagine being in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and him saying, I have a whole lot more I want to tell you, but you just can't handle it right now. We have to be aware when we are hungry, when we are thirsty for him. Sometimes he may have more for us, but he says, you're not able to handle it. Be it it's too overwhelming, be it you're not mature enough at this point to understand this if I share it with you. But he says, I have so much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. Now listen up. This is where it tells us that he says he will show us and reveal to us things to come. And it says at the end of verse 13, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. He will tell you what is yet to come. Now I have a note at the very end of the message, but I'll tell you now also in case I forget. He's not going to reveal everything to us, church. We know that. He will not reveal everything to us when he tells us of things to come. But he will reveal to us things that are ahead, things that lie ahead for us. As we look at the things that lie ahead, we have to think, how will we use that information? The benefit is, when we draw near to him, he will reveal the future to us. Now, we remember when, if you remember when we were studying the battles a month or two ago, and I was talking about the battle where he revealed himself to Gideon, but he said, there's going to be a battle. But he waited till a certain time when he said, now is the time to go. So he'll reveal something, but he may not reveal all the information to you. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 12 says this. And it's talking about Paul. And Paul had a thorn in his side. Or had a thorn in him. And he says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. And then verse 8 says, three times I pleaded. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and in insults and in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's confusing. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The fourth benefit of drawing near to God. The fourth benefit is, when you draw near to God, he will be your strength. Now, strength is translated this way. Dunamis. And I know Thelma Williams used to always talk about his dunamis power. And it means God's miracle working power. You know the song we sing, there's power in the blood. It says there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. It says there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And that's what that's speaking to. It says, man, when you go through this stuff, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Church, when your power ends, and when my power ends, when my strength ends and your strength ends, his power and strength begins. I was telling Eric this morning, he said, I'm getting some yard work done. I said, me too. But I'm realizing how out of shape I am. I could work for a few minutes and I was done. I know that some of you were going to run the Memorial Marathon and they've postponed that. And I know a couple years ago when our family ran the marathon, I was out of strength. And I was out of strength pretty much when I first started. But I had to find strength to press on. And I know as I took off from my starting place and I got about a half mile away, I had done my stretches, I had been warming up, and I knew I was in trouble. But I couldn't stop. You see, my mom and sister were standing there. And I thought, I've got to press on and press through this. And I did. And I rounded the corner of the cemetery there on Grand, where my sister's husband and son are buried. And they quickly drove around through the cemetery and sat right outside where they were buried on the edge of the cemetery. And they were around that curve to cheer me on again as I struggled with my weakness. You know, I called on God and said, God, help me get through this and help me at least pass them before I pass out. And I got about a quarter mile past there and I just stopped and I sat on a guardrail. And I said, I've practiced for this. I know I can do this. Why am I having trouble? So I just stretched a little bit more for several more minutes. And I stood up and I prayed God's strength through the rest of that run. And I finished. And as I ran past churches there on Classen Boulevard that were having outdoor services, what an encouragement that was to me and how uplifting that was to me. And I gained strength in my weakness because God stepped up in His power and strength in my time of weakness. When you draw near to God, He will be your strength and power. As Helen Keller said, although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming it. We don't need to wait for a crisis, church. We don't need to wait for things to blow apart before we come before Him and draw near to Him. We need to start now building that relationship. Maybe you're distant today. We need to build our relationship with Him, so when trouble comes, we're more prepared for it. Now, it doesn't matter where we think we are, where we think we've reached or attained a certain level. When trouble comes, we'll all struggle to a certain degree with it. But as we press in to His presence and draw near to Him, we can get through these things. God's grace is sufficient for you and your troubles. I want to recap real quick the benefits of drawing near to God. He will draw near to you. He will reward you. He will reveal the future to you. Remember, church, He will not reveal everything. And He will be your strength. When we gain these principles, when we lean on these principles, when we lean on these scriptures, and that's what He's calling us to do. Again, last week I said, it's time to return to Him. It's time for us to return to Him. He's calling us back to Him. And if we're already there, then He's calling us closer to Him. Draw near to me. For some of us, He may be saying, draw nearer to me. I'm going to do a couple things as we prepare to close the message today. Some of you have asked about, why can't we have worship or music? There are certain licensing things that take place that don't allow us to publish our worship on our website and record it live. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody can't record it on their phone and do something, but there are restrictions, and we try and follow those guidelines, of course. I want to remind you of giving and tithing. Guys, it's so important right now as a church body that we continue with our disciplines, because it's so easy once you're out of the discipline to not get back in it, or not get back in it full blown. So I want to remind you four ways to give. You can give through our app, and you can go online and get the instructions for that. You can give online. It's secure again. You can mail in your tithe check to the church address, just simply Prayer of Faith. And our address is 5801 South Anderson Road, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73150. Or you can bring it when we meet again together, or call me and I'll come by and pick it up. Now, I don't mean I'm that desperate, but I'm saying it may be a while before we gather together. Continue to monitor prayeroffaith.net for instructions on what we're doing, when we'll meet again, when activities will pick up. But for now, there are no other services or activities until you hear from us otherwise. And I'm going to pray in just a minute here. And when I pray, I'm going to leave the stage here for a moment. And I'm going to play the piano for a few minutes, just so you guys can hear some worship music. Now, I'm going to save you all some pain. I'm not going to sing, but I'm just going to play the piano. And I'm just going to play one of my favorite songs. And you guys can fade off as you want until we fade off. But if you want to just hang tight for a few minutes, we'll play the piano at the end of service here. We miss you. We miss gathering together. We miss that face-to-face fellowship. But know that we continue to pray for each and every one of you, your need, your situation. And again, if you have a need or situation, contact Eric directly or myself directly. I told you last week I don't do Facebook, which is weird. We're doing Facebook Live, but I'm not on Facebook. So if you have a need, and everybody knows but me, you need to reach out and let me know if you have a need. We want to do all we can to meet those needs. We love you, church. We miss you and can't wait to get back together again. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, your word promises that those that draw near to you and seek you diligently, you will draw near to them, you will reward them, you will reveal the future to them. And God, you will be their strength. You will be their strength when their own strength and power runs out. Lord, I pray today that those that feel distant from you will draw near to you. Those that feel they're near to you but want to get nearer to you, Lord, I pray that they take a step forward as well. And that we all reap the benefits of drawing near to you. I pray the church continues to grow and reveal the character and the love and the light of our Savior Jesus Christ during this time. I pray that we reach out to one another just to check on one another. Possibly getting out of our comfort zone, Lord. I pray that we maintain disciplines. And pray that we find new ways to worship you and celebrate you. God, I pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. I want to remind you of, Helen Keller's quote, and it says, "Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it." Blessings, peace, and joy to you. If you want to hang tight for a minute, I'm just going to play the piano for a few minutes, and then we'll be done. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Thank you.
God bless you. Have an amazing week.